You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
I'm Nick Westergaard, and this is On Brand, helping you tell your story. My guest this week is Angelina Jaspers.
Marketing's most fundamental role is understanding markets and consumers better than anyone else around. And this past year, whether it's been the pandemic or the economic crisis or social movements or the political upheavals, I think it has made marketers pause and think and realign their marketing priorities.
Over a rewarding 30-year corporate career, Angelina Jaspers experienced revolving door CEOs, business course corrections, and lots of reinventions. Across all her VP leadership roles, marketing, brand strategy, environmental sustainability, corporate communications, none escaped disruption. After being tapped to lead multiple company transformations, Angelina became a student and teacher of marketing and career agility. These experiences led her to develop the Marketing Flexology Management Framework, a mindset and a tool set for future-proofing your career, your team, and your marketing platform. Angelina shares marketing agility know-how in her book, presentations, and workshops, so you too can anticipate and prosper from unplanned change. Angelina, welcome to On Brand.
Well, thank you, Nick. It's an honor and delight to be here. And I want to say thank you for all that you do to help marketers and businesses stay on brand. It's really a true service to the community and to the profession. So thank you.
Well, thank you. And speaking of on brand, all sorts of different ways, as I read your bio, it really seemed, in addition to being your bio, it feels like it could be all of our bios that are working in this, challenging field at a challenging time. I mean, whenever I'm speaking about this, I always walk people through the timeline, because what we're doing has never changed, I don't think, more than it has over these past couple of decades. The glass is half empty side, it feels a little crazy making at times, but you flipped that another way. So talk to me about being flexible in the face of all of this.
Yeah. Absolutely. I'm very pleased to have said that the marketing profession is only like 6 decades old, and I've worked in 4 of those decades. I didn't work in the Mad Men decade of marketing, which would have been a hoot, I think. I really would have enjoyed that. But all the other decades. So we've all seen, and anyone who's been in the marketing profession for a while, I've seen a lot of changes, not only in audiences, environments, and tactics, in systems, beliefs. And, this past year alone, Nick, I think has been a real test for the marketing profession. And it's really been, I think it's been almost like a renaissance and a return to marketing's most fundamental role. Throughout all these decades, marketing's most fundamental role is understanding markets and consumers better than anyone else around. And this past year, whether it's been the pandemic or the economic crisis or social movements or the political, upheavals, tensions that have existed, I think it has made marketers pause and think and realign their marketing priorities. And, you know, from that, I mean, you know, the companies, I consult with some companies now, everybody, when we came to the lockdown, was agonizing over every message, every tagline, every image, every campaign that they set forth into the marketplace, because everyone obviously wanted to ensure they're not tone deaf or insensitive, you know, even in the smallest of ways. You know, people were pausing their automated email sequences, you know, in favor of more appropriately timed human interactions. You know, I think that's awesome. So I think it's been a good silver lining in an otherwise very challenging year plus. And I think I just hope that this focus and obsession on the customer will continue, you know, if for the years ahead.
You know, that's such a positive, uplifting way to look at it, because I think sometimes sometimes we end up, you know, just remembering the pulling the hair out and running for the hills. But I love thinking of it as a renaissance, because I do think you make a great point that it really forced us to stop and think in a way that for the past decade, at least, has not been very on trend. Stop and think. We got to keep moving. We've got to do what everyone else is doing. We've got to make sure we've got the latest form of content on the latest social network. And I do think that those that have stopped and thought that there's benefit to be getting or to be gotten from that as well.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, Nick. And I really think that marketing has gotten off track. Not that I'm anti-analytics and data, but I think the whole trend to, you know, art and science, data and analytics, this whole pendulum has shifted to data-driven marketing. And not that I'm not a proponent of data-driven marketing, but versus customer-focused marketing. And I've seen, and you've probably seen in your own practice, way too many marketers who sit behind their computers, you know, managing variables of the marketing mix like their variables in an algorithm to see what's going to get the greatest return or hit rate or open rates on their email. And, you know, that's not how to get inside the hearts and minds of our consumer. You know, they're not algorithms, they're humans on the other end. And so I'm really happy to see that pendulum kind of course correcting from everything is MarTech and everything is technology and analytic focused to being more balanced between customer focused marketing and data focused marketing, if you will.
So talk a bit about your marketing flexology framework, because it seems like that's very much a could be a great tool of this moment, the right tool at the right time.
Mm-hmm. Well, building on that whole theme of marketing art and science, if you key in art and science into Google, you'll get like a billion, 800, I did it yesterday, in fact, 800 million searches. And there's an endless debate, is marketing an art, is marketing a science? And some people argue very vehemently for both sides. And, you know, there's tug of wars inside companies on brand versus demand and who gets the bigger budget and who gets the bigger resource allocation and standing within the organization. So getting to my book, I really debunk the myth of marketing as an art and science. And I say that it has really shifted. Marketing is more about insight and agility. So forget the art and science debate. That debate's been going on for 40, 50 years. It's about, you know, insight, getting insight into your consumer, having a 24/7 lifeline into the customer, and being able to act on that insight quicker than your competitor. And that's the agility. So that's really the premise of my book. And then I lay out in it, it's a mindset, because not everybody thinks that way, right? And then it's a tool set that I lay out, and I won't bore you with the tool set, although it's very concrete and it's proven and time-tested. But it talks about, you know, the foundation setting, the dials that you have, and the tools that you have to make you a more nimble, agile marketer. You know, there's four dials within any marketer's purview, even though they feel like they don't own a lot or the market is really in charge. You know, you own your people, your programs, your budgets, and your agencies. And how you fine-tune those dials really can determine you dial them up or you dial them down based on the market dynamics. So that's really the agile, the agility piece that I talk about. It's really being nimble and being very lightweight, having a great focus on variable versus fixed cost and ways to achieve that. So that's my thesis of the book. We're no longer about art and science. We've bypassed that quite drastically, and we're all about insight and agility. And the people that can flex at the speed of business, you know, are the winners in this new marketplace.
Are you enjoying this conversation about branding? If so, I'd love to bring my Brand Now keynote speech to your next conference or corporate event. Based on my popular book, Brand Now, this talk breaks down the seven dynamics of building a standout brand in our crowded, distracted world. Entertaining and educational, your audience will learn, laugh, and leave with ideas they can implement right away. Learn more, including watching video and viewing popular presentation topics at nickwestergaard.com/speaking. That's nickwestergaard with two A's .com/speaking. Now back to the show.
So I'm really glad you walked us through the framework. And in thinking about that, I feel like it could be easy to, you know, even I, as I was listening to that, I'm like, what do I do?
Yeah.
And your pumping of the brakes that I think are so important, because you kept coming back to it being a mindset. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's I was going to say mindset about mindset, which is I'm thinking is probably possible, but mindset stuff is deceptively simple, or can be. So where do we start with fostering a better mindset to embrace that that flexology?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think, you know, of the two, you know, the tool set, you know, I can give you the tool set. I can say, give you the checklist and say, do these things, have these things in place. Do you have a messaging framework? Do you have a playbook? Do you have a communications brief? You know, those are all tools. But if you don't have the mindset, and that's the harder part. It's hard to teach the mindset. So I kind of break it down into traits, you know, so what does it mean to be nimble? What does it mean to be lean? What does it mean to be effective? What does it mean to be accountable? What does it mean to be learning? So those are kind of like the five traits. Lifelong learning is very important, you know, for marketers. And, you know, the skills and traits that that got you to your current job are certainly not the ones that are going to take you to your next position or elevate you up the ladder. But it's also a customer first or a business first mindset. So I talk a lot in my book about, and it's something I learned, you know, early in my career, where if you're faced with any decision or any transformation that's going on at a company, very logically, there's three things that come to mind. Uh-oh, what's that mean to me? Am I going to lose my job? Am I going to lose my standing? Am I going to lose my size, the team? Am I going to be promoted, demoted? So it's the first mind, you know, the first reaction is, what happens to me? The second reaction is, what happens to my team? You know, it's like, uh-oh, will my team be impacted? You know, they've got families, they've got jobs, they've got career trajectories. I don't want to lose them. I want to motivate them. So that's very important. But the third one, which I think is, and I think we have them in reverse order many times, and I'll get to that, is really the business first, or meaning customer first mindset. What does this have impact of this change or transition or change in direction have on the business or the customer? And if we put those in the right order, business first mindset followed by what does that mean to my team, and last, what does that mean to me as a leader? You can never go wrong. So when making any decision, approach it that way. Business first / customer first. Is this the right thing for the customer? Then is it the right thing for my team? And last, is this the right thing for myself? you won't go wrong. But I see so many marketers thinking about the impact. They'll make decisions based on the impact to their standing, their reputation, their team, their budgets, themselves. So it's really, you know, a change in it's not about metership. Metership. It's about leadership, right? Yeah.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you talk about the me factor, because I also think that another interesting point in your own story is working through this. And, you know, I loved even how you had it phrased in your bio, because, you know, your various leadership roles in marketing, brand strategy, environmental sustainability, corporate community, all these things that are somewhat related. But I think sometimes when we get stuck in that me mindset, we force a linear nature onto the path that I think doesn't always fit where we're at, where things are going, and can be a somewhat stressful pursuit. So I feel like having some of that flexibility and career agility is key to marketers as well. But I feel like, and maybe it's an offshoot from that way that we've gotten off track because of being so data driven. I feel like we have gotten incredibly specific in what we do, how we do it, and I feel like we could end up missing opportunities to grow as professionals, but also in working back up through the list you just walked us through, missing things that could benefit our business and our teams as well.
Mm-hmm. You make a very valid point. I think it's not. I think one of the things I say to increase your personal agility, so there's organizational agility, there's professional agility, there's personal agility, right? And there's a lot of strategies, a lot of tips and tactics and stuff. But one of the things that I talk about to increase your personal and professional agility is the power of yes. So when faced with a new opportunity, how many of us raise our hand or even initiate it and say, yes, I'll take that on, I'll take that challenge? Saying yes is very powerful, and very often we say, nope, I set boundaries. You know, you see a lot of articles written about how important it is to say no, you know, to set your boundaries, to set your tool, you know, to set your what's in scope, what's out of scope, to your point, the linear journey. But you learn so much more when you say yes. You know, yes to an opportunity. You know, a funny story is, you know, I was head of sustainability at HP, and it was something that I, long story, Greenpeace appeared on our roof one day with a helicopter in tow and camera crew, and had written on our roof in non-toxic paint, they say, that HP equals hazardous products, HP hazardous products. And they said it was because we had backtracked on one of our environmental goals. And so obviously, you know, there was a security breach. You know, how did Greenpeace arrive on the roof? The CEO and the head of security, you know, were very concerned. But then he turned around, you know, the CEO and said, you know, who's, you know, what goal, what backtracking, you know, who's in charge? And let's get someone in charge on that. So they pointed to me, and all of a sudden I became head of environmental sustainability. And I thought to myself, well, yeah, I, you know, I recycle. I'm green. You know, I believe in this, but that's not my, I'm not an environmental scientist, you know. But I said, you know, this might be a great opportunity. So I said, yes, I'll take this on. So I left my other role to take this on. And it was the best 3 years of my life. We really, I learned so much. It really took me out of my comfort zone, and it stretched me in ways that I'll always be grateful for. You know, it tested my leadership, it tested my knowledge of new industries. So that's what I'm talking about, Nick, when I say the power of yes. You know, it's a superpower, and just say yes to these opportunities. Was it in line with my linear career path in marketing? No. Did it grow me in new ways? Absolutely. So I think I'm a more well-rounded and better person because of that. Does that make sense? You know, it's kind of an aside.
But it does.
I think too many people don't want to be taken off track.
Yes, exactly. I think that phrasing is so key. And, you know, we spend a lot of time here talking about the practice of marketing, but I think this discussion on the career path of marketing is key. Yeah, I feel like Say Yes is something that we accept when it comes to creative thinking, to teamwork, but it still does seem walled off a bit when applied to that question that you said, which is usually, no, I don't do that. That's not what I do. I do this. I'm on my way through the leadership in the marketing domain. What's this over here? And really looking at what that could be. And I think it also forces you to broaden your thinking of what it is that you're about too, beyond maybe a specific silo.
Yeah. No, very well said. I totally agree. I love those kind of opportunities. So,
well, they usually end up being the ones that you remember, and they could seem like outlier moments, but definitely worth looking at a little bit differently.
Absolutely. And career paths aren't linear anymore, just like, you know, the marketing funnel's not linear, you know, anymore. It doesn't go from top to bottom. You know, customers can enter the funnel in any leads, and the customers enter the funnel wherever they want. It's a create your own marketing funnel journey. Same with your career. You know, you can enter your career and take it sideways, take it up, down, and around. I'm a big advocate on agility and flexibility. So, you know, that's kind of who I am. I like change. And so maybe I'm an oddball here, or an outlier, as you say, but I actually kind of thrive on it. I enjoy it. Not that I'm a terrible risk taker, but I really enjoy being put in new positions and having to really use your problem solving skills to figure it out.
Well, I think that's great, and it's kind of full circle too, because we started out this conversation talking about how different marketing is today.
Yeah.
And I think that if you accept all of that as truth, then you can't say that the career paths are simple, linear, and easily understood. So definitely worth that step back and review and saying yes to the unexpected.
Yeah, and to enjoy the journey, you know, to enjoy the journey and what you're learning along the way. Marketing is not a staid profession. It's a fascinating, ever-changing profession. And I think it draws the most innovative, creative people who really enjoy the journey and the ride. So I'm a big advocate.
Yeah. Well, Angelina, this conversation has made me smile. And it makes me think also, as we were talking in anticipation of this question, you got me thinking about what brand has made you smile. So I am eager to hear the answer to this question.
All right. So thank you for posing it. And I did give some thoughts. So thank you for giving me a preview of the question beforehand so I could think about it. That's important. So I think Patagonia is who came to mind. And I think they are a shining example of consistency, focus, brand vision, great product. And in April, and the reason I thought of Patagonia recently, just a couple weeks ago, Patagonia announced it would no longer add corporate logos to their products going forward. Did you see that announcement?
I did, yes.
Yeah. And, you know, the Patagonia power vest, you know, has been kind of a staple of Wall Street and fintech, right? And, you know, I have Patagonia branded, logoed, two logoed, you know, and what they said when they said we're no longer going to add corporate logos to our products, they said that what they learned is that adding this non-removable additional logo, it reduces the lifespan of their garment. They said people change jobs a lot, and it makes an an awkward regift. And people tend not to pass down their logoed gear down to their kids, and not everyone wants to be an advertisement on weekends. And so I thought, and they said, so as a result, perfectly good gear ends up forgotten in the closet, or worse, gets tossed in the trash. And I thought, I was really proud of them, and it made me smile, to your point. I thought, this is really Yvon Chouinard, you know, the 82-year-old founder, is really being true to his ethos and to his legacy and to his brand. And anyway, that's who made me smile.
Well, I mentioned early on that you piqued my curiosity because you said they must have come up before from time to time. And they do, but this is another example of why they do. It'd be one thing if everybody was pointing to the same thing, but they've come up when they've... It's interesting because they have come up a few times, but it's because they've continued to your very point, to work on this. To, I think the last time they came up was what I think they had some voting messages inside some of the garment tags, but it's just continuing to give voice to what their mission, vision, and purpose is. So I think it's worth bringing up those who are really exemplary at this. So
yeah, and isn't brand all about say equals do?
Yeah.
And so I always come back to that. You know, it's not only the art of positioning, you know, the one thing that compelling thing that sticks out in your mind. It's say equals do. And when companies, you know, their narrative matches their actions, that's a perfect brand experience and a perfect company. So, yeah.
Well done. Great example. Angelina, where can folks go to learn more about who you are and what you do?
Well, thank you for asking. So I have a website, as we all do these days, but I have four ways you can get there. So you can type in the title of my book, marketingflexology.com. You could type in my name, angelinajaspers.com. Or if you say, who was that person? Who's that gal that talked about marketing agility? If you type in marketingagility.com, you'll get there. And also if you type in brandagility.com, you'll get there. So I have been on a spree, Nick, of buying out different domains, you know, while they're available. So, you know, because I thought this is, and this might be a hint of where I'm heading, you know, with future books or future focus moving forward. But anyway, marketingflexology.com. And I'd be happy to link with people on LinkedIn. And like I said, I'm a student and teacher, so I learn as much as I share. So I'm happy to connect with any of your listeners, and at any time.
Well, awesome. To add yet another URL into the mix, we'll link up to all of that at our show notes at onbrandpodcast.com. Angelina, thanks for being on brand with us.
Thank you, Nick. It's been a pleasure.
And if you like what you're hearing, if we've made you smile, remember, you can subscribe to the show via Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you like to listen. And please take a moment and rate and review the podcast to help others find the show. Until next week, I'm Nick Westergaard, and I'll see you on the internet.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.